needing to be where He is. Why? Because He is the ultimate encourager of our lives. He is the one who keeps us going in the troubled times as we humble our hearts before Him. I hope that you'll let that message or that song go to your heart. Today, as we begin to look at Bethel Encourages the Called, I went in this direction after looking at encouraging the young last week and being Bethel being a church that encourages overall. How do we progress along this way of encouraging? We encourage the young to grow up and to become those that will be true holders of the faith, those who need to walk in the ways of Jesus all their days. But there comes a point in time in the life of every believer where we hear a call. Now, I'm not, when I say that, I am not trying to get you to think that I believe every person on the planet who is a believer in Jesus Christ should become a preacher. That's not what I mean when I say you hear a call, you get a sense of what your call is, your direction of life under the Holy Spirit's leadership should be. I am convinced that there are an awful lot of people who are working in offices that are called to be there. They're not there because they want to be. Some of them dread the water cooler moment every time they go. But they're there because they know God's placed them there for that season in their life to be His representative in that place. Some of us have other areas and other things that we're involved in, and we're there because we feel a sense of unction, they used to say when I was growing up. But now it's a sense of call, a sense of purpose. This generation that is coming up now is a generation that is characterized by so many as being a generation searching for its purpose. I think what we're searching for is the call of God on our hearts and our lives. I want to give us some ways in which we as Bethel can encourage one another to that call. And once we have that call, to fulfill that call. So as we get started, let's get started with the Word of God. Taking a look at the very first passage of Scripture that you'll see coming up behind me. God encourages the called out ones. Those who are called out. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Acts chapter 15, starting with the 30th verse. If you don't, follow along behind me. But it's always good to have your Bible with you. And although, you know, the graduates didn't have anywhere to stick their Bible in their thing, so they might be able to get by. Oh, they all managed to find a place to put their phones, however. So therefore, they have their Bibles with them. I love that. That's great. Acts chapter 15, starting with the 30th verse. Then, being sent off, they went down to Antioch, and after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and strengthened them with a long message. And after spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained in Antioch teaching and proclaiming the message of the Lord. Quickly, let's kind of put this in a perspective for you. What's happened is that the word has gotten back to the mama church, the Jerusalem church, and there's been discussion as to whether or not all of these Gentiles really can be a part of what is the church, and whether or not these Gentiles need to become Jews before they can become Christians. And there were all of these ramifications. You could call it the ultra-conservatives and the conservatives and the moderates. That if we were Baptists back then, that's what we would have called them. But the reality is there were all these different approaches. It was brand new. Nobody had ever experienced this before. It was something God was doing, and they were trying to get a handle on what do we need to stay in control of and what do we need to let go of and let God. Well, so they had representatives from the Antioch church that went down, Paul and Barnabas being among those, and the whole dialogue takes place. And then the brethren, the elders of the Jerusalem church, send a letter back encouraging them to keep going. There were some restrictions that they placed on them, but they were minimal restrictions that were social and cultural in nature, just so that there wouldn't be any confusion or question. But then said, basically, stick them. Go for it. Be the evangelists. Be those that reach the world. The church, when they heard this letter, which could have been a defining, divisive moment in the life of the church between those who stayed in Jerusalem and those who were progressive and moved on, could have been a divisive time. Instead, it was a time in which they heard the encouragement of their elders in the faith saying, press on, press on. They were encouraging the called out. Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church, encouraged the new believers. And so the first thing that I would say to you is that as we have people who come to faith in the life of Bethel, who are just beginning to understand what it means to walk away from their old ways and hold on to their new ways and to discover what that truth is, we need to be people who encourage them in that walk. There are many ways in which we can do that. We can encourage them with our lifestyle. We can encourage them with our words. We can encourage them with writing notes or letters to them. We can encourage them with phone calls or emails or text messages or even Facebook Messenger, you know, if you're into that. There are all kinds of ways in which we can encourage new believers, but none of them work if we don't make the initial choice to encourage. That's true for a pastor. It's true for deacons. It's true for Sunday school teachers. It's true for church members. We need to be Bethel who encourages those who've been called out of their sin and into a new life. Now, one of the ways in which you can develop that sense of encouraging is to be one who is used of God to call out those who are lost. We're going to talk about evangelism as an aspect of what it means to be Bethel and soon, but the reality is you don't have to wait till then. Begin those gospel conversations now with the people that you know, with maybe a list of anywhere from 1 to 5 people that you're praying for and that you're concerned about and that you're lifting up to the Lord. We've had seasons where Gary has led us through our prayer guides to be in prayer for others and pray evangelistically. We have been praying for our nation. We have been praying for different things. Are you continuing? Are we continuing that will move us forward in being people who are willing and desiring to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people that we're praying for? So that when they say, yes, we can be their encourager along the journey. Jerusalem encouraged these new believers. And they did it by going and having this letter delivered. But they didn't just deliver the letter. They sent folks along with it to encourage them. I love this. A preacher would love this. But in verse 32, where it says, both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and strengthened them with a long message. There is biblical precedent for long sermons, just in case you were wondering. All right. So the reality for us is that they did not just encourage them by sending them a letter and saying, okay, we're done. They sent folks. And when they got there, it almost seems as if these men who were had come from the Jerusalem church, in actually meeting these others who were the people they were writing this letter for, were encouraged by them and challenged by them, and they just felt the need to encourage them even more. There is a synergy that happens when we begin to encourage one another that only happens face to face. I know we live in a busy society, but I think sometimes we need to be more like Paul and Barnabas, who stay to encourage that church. They don't go back to Jerusalem. They've been welcomed back to Jerusalem. Barnabas is from Jerusalem area. He spent a great deal of his time there, and it would have been easy to just go back home. But they sensed the call to be in Antioch. And they stayed there to continue to encourage them step by step. Some of us have been members of Bethel for a long time. How many of you have been members here at Bethel for more than 20 years? Look around. Yeah. How many of you have been members of Bethel more than 30 years? Right, a few fewer, but still a good number. Right, those of you who have been here a long time, God wants you to encourage those of us who are still figuring it out. When new members come, do you learn their names? Do you spend time talking with them on a Sunday? Does it ever come into your heart, into your mind, that perhaps as a long-standing member of the church, your encouragement of them, your welcoming of them might make a huge difference in their life? I've seen this happen here. I've seen those of our church who have been a part of this church for a long time wrap their love around those who are just coming. It is an awesome thing, but I've unfortunately also seen it where there have been times when people just did not get that connection. For whatever reason, that encouragement didn't come. It makes such a difference when we as Bethel are true encouragers. When we encourage those who are called out into faith for the very first time, we encourage who are called out to become members of our church for the very first time, we need to encourage them. And then I would say, not only do we encourage those who are called out to become part of us, but we also need to encourage those who are sent out from us. This brings us so the next passage of Scripture. The reality is that when we encourage the sent out, we see Barnabas and Paul sent out, and they come back. We then know that later on, Barnabas and Paul are going to have a separation of the ways, and it's going to be Barnabas and Mark and Paul and Silas. You remember hearing his name a few minutes ago, the long-winded one a little while ago from Jerusalem. Paul gets Silas and they begin to go out. And when the two teams go out, the ministry of evangelism and church planting is doubled with the encouragement church sending them out. One of the hardest things for the church in today's society, and it's been the case all along, but in today's society as well, is when the best go out. When God calls our best and sends them somewhere else, we've experienced this. When we have had God call out some of our best, our young adults and others, to go and help begin Journey Church and the ministry that has begun there and continues to this day there that God is using in that way. When the best go out and God raises up the called out. Because one of the things we discovered, as afraid as we were of all of these young leaders going and leaving us, we felt like, well, then what about us? And what we discovered was God did not forget us. Within our midst, He raised up others to take their place or showed us ways in which perhaps it wasn't exactly the same way that person would have done it, but a new ministry and a different ministry in a different way was raised up by someone else that God either brought in or brought alongside. We worried about the financial resources because God was taking out some of our best people, and yet God continued to bless with resources in ways that we wouldn't have imagined. When we encourage the best to go and follow the call of God, God raises up those He is calling out next. God's never caught unaware. God never runs out of people that He is reaching and He's calling. He never runs out of resources and He never runs out of encouragement. The reality for us is that we sometimes forget the words of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, where Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, the elders who are good leaders are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages. I think he's talking about more than just preachers in the way that we think of preachers. I think he's talking about anyone who has been called out by God, senses the reality of a ministry that God has laid on their heart, whether it's a benevolence ministry that has been laid on your heart and you're a part of that benevolence ministry, or maybe it's a mission to go and to make a difference in someone else's life, and maybe nobody else in the church knows about it, but you're doing it in your community, in your area where you're making a difference, and you sense the call of God there. I believe that we as a church need to recognize that everyone is worthy of their hire, of their calling. And therefore, one of the ways in which we pay one another is with encouragement. Now, I recognize that, you know, some of us get paid and some of us don't. But if I ever start doing this because I get paid, you need to fire me. Because the reality is, I'm called of God to preach, to teach, to lead. And until He calls me into something else or rescinds my calling or calls me home, that's what I want you to encourage me for. Whether it's through finances or whether it's through words, cards, through glances, through whatever it is that might encourage. And don't just do it with Dan. Don't just do it with me or with Gary. Do it with everyone. Because the reality is that every year we see it. Some of our best kids are called to leave Bourbonnais and to go to other cities or towns to attend college or to find jobs or to find their place in this world. Our role as a church is to disciple them while we have them and then encourage them as they go out into God's field. Every year we see it. Some of our best kids stay here and work in the area. And our job is to encourage them as disciples to grow and to get involved and to lead others as disciples. Here's just a list. Our young adults, Jessica Wheeler, Amy Winkle, Hallie Schweitzer, Dean and Nathan Levina, Shelby Koneman, Amanda Winkle, Tommy Dessler, Rashawn Jefferson, Larry Winkle. There may be others that I missed as I was going through this and preparing this message, but our young adults, Are you encouraging them in the calling God's placed on their lives? We need to. It's who we are. It's who we need to be. For Bible study leaders, that we call out every year by election, who seek to lead their fellowship group into age-appropriate truth that God has for them every Sunday. Have you encouraged their calling? Our Bible study leaders, Kim Hall, Vicki Wheeler, Brenda Dyer, Kelly Koneman, Fran Winkle, Dave Coker, Kyle and Kim Dessler, Dan Whalen, Bob Dyer, John Baxter, Milford Witchell, Mary Hawkins, and Toby Labana. Who will you encourage? Who will you not muzzle, but instead open the floodgates of their hearts by encouraging? And lastly, as I've already mentioned, we have those who have been called and set apart by our church, whether they be staff or deacons of our church, set apart through the laying on of hands and ordination, licensing to ministry. Have you encouraged the called? Ray Fairfield, Harlan Schmidt, Bob Dyer, Kyle Dessler, Dale Weaver, Gary Harner, Dan Whalen, myself. Let me ask you, in response to today's message, who do you need to encourage today? Commit to unmuzzling the ox, as it says, by encouraging them. Like we've done with our graduates today, encourage them. During today's invitation, I'm just going to simply ask you to make plans to encourage. And to do that as your response to this message. To intentionally encourage some of the called or some of those of us who are waiting to be called and need that extra measure of encouragement. You be in prayer about that. You let God speak to you about that. Let's trust Him to give us what we need to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, for your provision, and for this calling. And I pray that you would enable us to hear your voice, say yes to your voice, and not just think about it today, but Father, as we go home today and then as we are going through our everyday tomorrow and the next day, give us a recall of these commitments that we are making, even right now as I pray, of whom we are going to encourage, how we are going to support them and help them to know that we want them to be even more than they are now and that we believe in what they are doing and what God has called them to. Father, would you lay some on our hearts today that we might encourage so that you might fan the flame of their calling and their gifts be stirred up and used for your glory. For that's really what it's about. Bethel, encouraging one another so that your name is glorified and the gospel is proclaimed. May it be, O Lord, in Jesus I pray. Amen. Today's invitation is, as I mentioned, an opportunity for you to make plans. So I'm going to ask Dan if he would to sing as the instrumentalists play. And I'm going to ask you to get your bulletin out, get a pen, whatever, and make plans. Do something intentional that you're going to do to encourage somebody that you know has been called out by God that needs an encouraging word this week. So as Dan sings, you make that decision. You write that down. Let's go to him together.